Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I have the very sacred and holy privilege of saying those words, and I find it very humbling to say those words at the start of funeral services, the introductory sentences. And each and every time I say them, I find them very poignant and very profound, each and every time, because of what they mean and the true message that they speak. But honestly, how easy is it to take that advice, to take it and to really, really, really live by that advice, day in and day out, whatever we're experiencing, whatever we may be going through. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. When we're in the most severe crises of our lives, facing a stress that is a result of what's going on in our lives, anxious about what's happening to us and around us, these may be the last words that we want to hear, even if we need to hear them, and even if those very words come from Jesus himself. You're in a hospital room, pacing back and forth in the waiting room, checking the door as it opens to see if it's the doctor with news. You're standing at the grave, the funeral has ended, the casket is lowered into the ground, it's over. And now what about the future? You're coming home from work with the notice that the company that you've worked for 25 years is now closing, and you won't have a job next month. You're answering the door in the middle of the night, and you can tell it's a police officer. What is she here to tell you? Even in those moments, and I would venture to say especially in those moments, whether we're able to or not, we need to hear Jesus saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And the truth is, Jesus isn't offering some kind of platitude or a sentimental thought or some kind of a Hallmark greeting. He means what he's saying, because from a faith perspective, it is the truth. It is God's promise. And it is real for us in none other than the life and the ministry, the faith, the teaching, the death, the resurrection of Jesus himself. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, we know the relevance of that passage for us today. We can see that. For our world, with all of the tragedies and injustice, for our own lives, when we encounter grief and loss and suffering. But the truth is, this was a very pertinent message for those who were right there with Jesus, too, when he said those words. They needed to hear them as much as we need to hear them. You see, those of Jesus' time, they lived in uncertain times too. They didn't really know what the Romans were going to do next. There's the whole story of the Israelites that had been passed from generation to generation, and often one upheaval after another, and which upheaval was going to come next upon them that they wouldn't be able to avoid and that they'd have to deal with. And the disciples and the followers of Jesus must have felt threatened and anxious. Because even though they didn't understand it, he'd said it enough and he was pretty clear about what was to come. Remember when it was that Jesus spoke these words. It was on the very night that he would be betrayed, taken into custody, put on trial, found guilty, the night before he would be led out to a hill with a cross where he would die on that cross. At that last supper with his friends in that upper room, Jesus said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And little did they know how relevant and pertinent and how timely that message of assurance would be for them. Something else to remember. The community that John was writing to when he wrote this gospel weren't there in the upper room. The Johannine community was a group of Easter people, men and women who came to faith because of Easter. They were post-resurrection, they were post-ascension. And that meant that Jesus wasn't physically present there with them. Jesus wasn't speaking directly to them. So all they could rely on was the witness and testimony to the truth from individuals like John. And so what did they experience? Well, they were new Christians. They couldn't even call themselves that at that point in time, but that's what they were. In a complete culture where that wasn't the faith. And so they were increasingly unwelcome, whether it was in their synagogues or even among their families, because they were known to believe a different message and to trust in what was perceived as an unconventional truth. And so John, with that community of people who are trying to establish themselves with faith, he uses those exact same words that he himself heard Jesus say on that last night in the upper room to reassure the gathering of the faithful, to trust in God, to hold on to their faith in Jesus Christ and all that Jesus promised, no matter what, no matter what. And for some, that might even mean death and martyrdom. The truth is, their lives weren't without hardship or stresses as a result of their faith. As I said, it may have meant their very deaths because they proclaimed the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was risen from the dead. But remaining faithful in face of adversity, they could indeed trust, even in the midst of turmoil, that God wasn't absent from them, but rather that God was right there with them. That God was upholding them, that God was guiding them, that God was holding them close and loving them and saving them, always offering hope through faith in what was yet to come. I wonder, can it be the same for us? Can it be the same for us when we don't know what tomorrow will bring? When things are in constant flux? When we live in fear of what the next act of terrorism might be? Or the ramifications of economic uncertainty? Or the reports of yet another natural disaster? When we're concerned for our own safety and security and the issues of our health? And the relationships we have with others in our lives, or our jobs and our security there, or our retirement and what that future looks like, or the realities of aging and becoming more and more dependent upon others for things to do for us that we can't do for ourselves anymore. Into all of that, and when it comes to any other experiences too, what does Jesus say to us? Say it with me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's do that one more time because it's going to happen a few more times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And when we say it, we need to say it like we mean it, with conviction, because we know it to be true. There is no doubt. We will have ups and downs in our lives. We will have hills and we will have valleys. We will know personally what it's like to walk in a desert wilderness. We will experience dark nights of the soul. We will come upon low moments. But no matter how bad things seem, and no matter how bad things really are, either in the moment of now or in the days or weeks or months to come, what does Jesus say to us? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. And he means it because it is the truth. God never leaves us. God never leaves us without comfort, but rather grounded in the reality that nothing need ever overwhelm us to the point of desperation and hopelessness. Nothing. Think about what St. Paul said to the church in Rome. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And that, as the Peter wrote in that second reading for today, that is a cornerstone of our faith. That is the rock-solid foundation of who we are as the body of Christ and the inheritance that we have received to minister in the midst of that. God is always with us. God is always for us. God is always enfolding us in his loving embrace. God is always loving us. God is always healing our brokenness. God is always nurturing our souls. God always, always, always wants us to be the best and the most faithful that we can be. And God always wants the best for all of creation too, even when we can't see it in the moment. That allows us, yes, to live in the moment of now and to face the realities and stresses of this moment of now, knowing that, as St. Julian of Norwich is known to have said, all will be well, and indeed all manner of things will be well. Friends, that indeed is the truth. That's the core of our faith. That's the cornerstone of our faith through the gospel, through the good news of Jesus Christ. We may well live with uncertainty and chaos, with disorder and disruption, but Jesus in these words offers us peace. Peace that the world can never give us, peace that we can't create for ourselves, peace that no other individual human being can give to us either. The good news is, whenever we find ourselves muddling through, there is hope. There is good news. Why? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And if we say it enough, it becomes ingrained in us. It gets written on our hearts and souls. We internalize it to the point that we don't only believe it, we really believe it, and we really, really live it. God, through Christ and the ever-present Holy Spirit, will never, never, never leave us to fend for ourselves. So let's make this real. Concrete to the moment of now here at St. George on Young. Many of you have expressed grief and sadness and anxiety because of the announcement that I will be leaving here as your parish priest in these next few weeks. And that reality leaves me with many of those same emotions myself. And those emotions for you and for me, they are real. And they often can, and they do lead us to stress and to fear. But I pray and I hope that knowing we are moving into transition doesn't ever leave us hopeless or feeling abandoned. Not any of us, you or me. Because in the midst of our experience, that experience which is yours and which is mine, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Questions to ponder, to reflect on, and to pray about. Can we trust our whole life to God, all of our present, everything about our future? Can we know that God remains at work, very present, very engaged, working in us and working all around us and working through us? Grief, which is what we are experiencing in this time of ending, may make it difficult to embrace that truth, that faithfulness that God offers to us today through these words of Jesus. Because what do we want? We want something that's more secure and more predictable and more stable. And the truth is, nothing in this life is secure or certain or stable. except one thing for us as followers of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And that one thing that we can be secure in and certain of and help us feel stable is the promise of God's care, God's love, God's guidance, and God's presence. We can't take those things for granted, and we shouldn't take them for granted. But they are certainties that we can trust in because they are the truth. That, my brothers and sisters, is the only security we have, the only freedom we can truly count on, and it is the only hope that allows us to embrace that wonderful promise that we need not to ever be troubled to the point of despair. Life and things that happen throughout our lives, whatever they may be in a given moment, they may well pull us down. And we may even stay down for a moment. But with our faith, we don't have to stay down. And we likely won't stay down either. Because God pulls us up. And God gives us everything we need in that moment as we follow Jesus Christ, the one, as the gospel reminds us, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life eternal. So let's truly embrace what Jesus says to us today. Let's hold on to it no matter what. And let's believe it to be the truth, especially now in this time of leaving, this beginning of transition here at St. George on Young, because let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Amen.